This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast. What's up, guys? Been a little while, but back for a personal episode. You have my word. I'm going to be doing my best to be doing more personal content on a regular basis, going through longer form learnings or things that are top of mind in my world that some of you guys like checking out in an audio or video version if you're on the YouTube channel. We'll get to that a little bit later, but a lot of you guys know I've been working hard on the YouTube channel to try to grow it and put out as much content there as I can. It's been an interesting process. So if any of you guys are curious about how to grow on YouTube, I feel like that's something I'm also really learning about, and I've hired some YouTube coaches or consultants and been learning a lot. But anyway, we'll get to that, but I'm sure it'll be a topic in future videos. So what I wanted to talk about in today's video was a topic that became a little heated a couple of weeks ago in the MMTR Facebook group. A lot of you guys know that there's a Facebook group associated to this podcast, and it came when I posted a picture that read of this quote: "It doesn't matter if you make $1 million a year, if someone can tell you what to wear, what time to be at work, and can take it all away from you, you are not free." And it stirred a lot of questions, comments, a lot of positive, but you know, a lot of, I would say also like devil's advocate comments and questions against it, which I always encourage and think is cool, especially if it's done in a respectful way. But you know, I was looking at the comments more, and actually a friend of mine and one of my former business coaches, actually Tyler Pazek, recommended that I make a podcast episode kind of just debating this topic and talking about why I posted it, what the motivation was, and you know, like if I really believe that or if it was something else. So ultimately, this evoked a strong emotion, I think, for a lot of, you know, reasons. But I first heard this topic discussed on a podcast with Tim Ferriss and Naval Ravikant. If you guys don't know him, we'll link his stuff in the show notes, but he is an entrepreneur, an angel investor, and I would say at this point a philosopher. He's got so much amazing content. Crazy Twitter, crazy, like just podcast kind of guru. And when you hear him once, you understand why. He's very bright and he's done so many cool things. But ultimately, they were talking about it in a different context. But for me, it really resonated. They were talking about it actually having to do with crypto and how a new currency can free people from kind of the traditional maybe structure of government or money, and how things are going to become decentralized. But for me, as some of you guys know, my story being that I was in corporate America and I became financially free through real estate and some other side hustles, you know, it really evoked a strong emotion in me, because a lot of things I didn't realize about corporate America and financial freedom until I was out of the job and didn't really understand kind of some of the limitations or pressures I had while I was in the job. So that's what we're going to be going over today and kind of talking through the like core reason that I believe this quote is true. And then also at the end, we'll talk about some of the ways that I think you can start taking action towards financial freedom and kind of outline some of the ways that I've done it and think that, you know, there's still really good opportunities right now. So what this quote encompasses for me, and the reason that you could be making $1 million per year under a boss and that you're not free, is that you're not secure. Basically, what I realized in corporate was that you always need to be plugged in, and someone can kind of ruin your day at any time or tell you what to do at any time. And you know, I know this might sound petty, but I thought about it a lot from what I was doing in corporate, and I really had to unlearn a lot of things. But my favorite part about the new life was that I didn't really have to pick up my phone or answer any emails or respond to anyone telling me what to do. And of course, there could still be this, you know, this thing in business that happens, or, you know, needs in the business that'll pull you in from time to time, but there's no boss telling you to take an internal training or a customer calling you to say, you know, fix this for me right now or else. It becomes up to you of how hard or how smart you want to work to reap the kind of payoff for your time and effort. And that's what I think draws a lot of people to entrepreneurship, that you can kind of, you know, steer your own ship and you're not bound by someone else telling you you can or can't do something. And like I said, I only realized after leaving the job that there's so many stresses associated with having a potential kind of over the shoulder command of someone and not really knowing that that's happening at the time. So I'll break it down in a couple parts here. The first is going to be in corporate. why I felt like I needed to have my technology close to me at all times and why I don't feel that way anymore. And then we'll go through kind of some of the other things for, you know, time management and what I see holding people back that may prevent them from leaving corporate. And then what I think you can do to kind of combat that. So in corporate, I felt like I needed to have my phone accessible at all times or something potentially horrible could happen. This was a stress I didn't know I even carried with me at all times until it was gone. As David Allen talks about, he's the author of a book called Getting Things Done. He's been on the podcast, one of my favorite authors and kind of productivity thinkers. He calls it ambient anxiety. And you can't place your finger on it, but it's there at all times. Basically, someone can just come along and ruin your day. You know that that could happen at any point. So there's always sort of a guard up that, as another friend of mine, Max Bidden, who's in the other room, talks about, that you put a wall up to prevent bad things from happening, but you also put a wall up to prevent good things that ends up preventing good things from happening. And that's not a good thing at all. That, again, I only felt when I wasn't in the job and I didn't have someone putting things on my calendar or potentially sending me an email, it's really going to just not be good. So there was no one definitively, no one is holding a gun to my head now, checking what I'm doing or, you know, what I should be doing, but I am now, you know, and I knew that in corporate, there was a chance that something, you know, like out of my control could happen. So we're kind of going through what I'd say people get tricked on when they think, oh, corporate is great because I have all this freedom. But at the end of the day, what I like to think about a little bit more with it is like the comforts of corporate, and corporate makes life comfortable, working from home or free meals or culture and all that fluff. It's a really good disguise. And again, for some people, it will be a great way to make money and have structure and to delegate a lot of the difficult decisions and thinking and delayed gratification that goes into business. But what I have found is that there are ways you can do it on the side. And some people in the most, you know, like in the argument on the Facebook group, we're talking about, well, you know, you have $1 million a year coming from a job and you just have guardrails. So you are free, but you just have guardrails to kind of do what you need or what you want. I could not disagree with this more. And the first reason has to do with freedom and less about the money. So as most people know, you know, there's a trade-off a lot of times between freedom and security, or, you know, money and security. And again, if someone can take the thing away from you, which in this case is a job, then you don't have an important form of freedom, which is security to me, in other words. So I've talked about it a lot before, but only a few months into my first corporate job, there's a big layoff. I saw people who were making $300,000 to $500,000 a year lose that income with literally no notice. And the worst part was that there was no backup plan. Their expenses were no different than what they were the day before, but they immediately had no income to support that current lifestyle. So to me, that is not secure. That is one stream of income provided by one person that can be taken away at any time. So when I learned that you can build side hustles to, at a minimum, replace your cost of living, that just felt so much more secure to me than depending on one person giving me one income stream. And this is without even digging into the concept of becoming an entrepreneur, just to learn the skills so you can be self-sufficient. You know, that was another thing I realized when I left my corporate job, was that I realized I had no skills that, you know, translated to entrepreneurial, you know, life. I know a lot of people claim that corporate teaches them a lot of skills, but like, I didn't know how to make a website. I didn't know how to do a marketing plan. I didn't know how to do a podcast, a YouTube channel, all things that are very relevant to make money in today's marketing and, you know, business world. If you look at any big company or influencer or brand, they are doing those things, and you don't learn how to do those things in corporate. So back to the point of building a side hustle, financial freedom starts with having an income that covers your expenses, not replacing your old salary. That can happen in time, but doesn't need to happen at the beginning. A lot of people at the beginning would tell me that I needed to wait to leave my job until I replaced my salary with side hustle income, which I could not disagree with more. If you wait to do that, you'll probably never leave the job. That's what most people say is an excuse to stay in their job forever or to not even get started on their side hustle, because that's very demoralizing, especially if you're listening to this and you're a high income earner, like a lot of people are who may work in tech or, you know, whatever. Not everyone is, but I know some people listen to this podcast are in that bucket, and they don't think they can ever leave because they'd be throwing away their salary. But ultimately, you need to think about replacing your cost of living instead of your cost of or your salary. So that's just a really important thing. Okay. Just looping back into kind of time management. And one thing that I think is important for people that are struggling with building a side hustle when they are working in a job. So COVID shook up a lot of this, but unfortunately some of it is coming back, and that's the need to be in an office or to be on call more. And what I realized in my corporate job before COVID was that people just needed a way to fill 8 hours of coming into an office. So I've talked about how there are a lot of different ways to fill time in an office. And I highly recommend that anyone who is listening to this give what I'm about to say a try. But in the last 2 years of my corporate job, I would play a game where I only allowed myself to work X amount of hours on my corporate job to see if I could get as much done in a very constrained amount of time. So for me, this is a little extreme. You may not want to try this, but for me, it was 10 hours a week that I would give myself to do my corporate job. And I wanted to see if I could get efficient enough to just batch everything that I was originally doing in 40 hours into those 10 hours and see if anyone would notice. And also prove that most corporate work is bloated and just filling time with email, meetings, internal unnecessary trainings, and you know all that other stuff. And the result of that was pretty interesting that no one noticed. I was working 10 hours a week in my corporate job. After I hit that 10 hours per week, I would just shut my work computer and then shift to my real estate and entrepreneur computer, which was, you know, like I knew very clearly the difference. And no one noticed. Like it just wasn't a big deal. The what it actually did was make me focus on the most important things in those 10 hours. So I was only meeting with bigger clients. I was only meeting with bigger partners. I was training people that were under me to help kind of pull their weight a little more and drive more for the team. So I actually was developing what I would say is better skills. And that's why I like to recommend this people to do this exercise, because you know, you may not be able to do everything in a way in a much shorter period of time, but what you might do is figure out the highly leveraged activities that you can then start doing more of. And even if you cut the amount of time you were focusing on your W-2 in half, that's 50% more time that then you could focus on your side hustle to build additional streams of income. And that's what really happened for me as I went down to 10 hours. And I just think anyone can do a version of that. So what I would say is, you know, like when you think about your time, I know a lot of us think of it as this linear thing that I either have the time or I don't. Well, I think there's a lot of ways that you can leverage time just from being creative and being more productive and focusing on the more important things and getting help. We're not going to talk about it too much here. I have a lot of other content on virtual assistants and how to outsource things. But ultimately, if you start getting help with things that you were doing yourself before so that you can be freed up to work on other important things, that can make you that much more productive and make you that much more money. That's another reason why I was also really checked out with corporate, because I felt that things were really inefficient, and that if I was in sales and I was supposed to be closing bigger deals, that I didn't feel like I should be prospecting, because I was learning from the real estate world that you can do prospecting with a virtual assistant for $4 to $6 an hour with a cold caller or a texter. So for me, it just didn't feel like a good use of my time to do that. But again, we're kind of getting back to time management. So all these things are kind of interesting, but even if you are in a corporate job, I think there's opportunities to experiment and see where you can cut down on your time on the clock or in an office. And if you're looking to get deeper on any of these concepts, my favorite book of all time, and you'll understand a lot more about, you know, why this is interesting for me and also the way I live my life, comes from a book called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. I highly recommend you check it out. And I do a lot of giveaways for that book. It's one of my favorite podcasts, but also it talks a lot about hacks and ways that you can implement these type of strategies. So yeah. Okay. Next, I want to talk about why financial freedom is more secure than people think. And it is the beginning, not the end. So a lot of people think about financial freedom as the end of the journey, that, okay, I made it and now I can kind of kick my feet up on, you know, a beach and not do anything. That might be what you want to do. For me, that's not what I want to do, because I just get bored. I wanted to find something that I didn't need an escape from, that I was good at and I could make money doing. So for me, that became these entrepreneurial ventures, these side hustles, building real estate business, doing content, selling e-products, courses, things like that. And I think for a lot of people, there's different ways to get satisfaction. I also could spend a lot more time on my hobbies, but what I think people kind of, you know, may miss in their like quest for financial freedom is that if you get to the point where you replace your cost of living and you buy all your time back, because now you're not in a job, you can add way more streams of income because you have way more time and your value per hour is way higher. If you're working, you know, a 40-hour week and you're making 100,000, just imagine if you're working a 20-hour week, making 100,000, you are worth 2x. If you were a business, you'd be worth at least 2x. So what I think people need to think about a little bit more is that you will have your time back and you can have more fun if you want. You can work on new projects if you want. And it's not going to cost you anything else because you were already kind of living before, but now you have more opportunity to make more money. This is where I think a lot of people are stressed out when they're thinking about going into a side hustle full-time or financial freedom, that they don't think that they're going to be making more money. But if you have ambition, now you have all your time back. So time is out the window and you can now focus just more on what you want to do to make more money. So that happened to me. And I was like, maybe some of you guys at the beginning, I was a little concerned that that wasn't going to happen. But ultimately, if you like the projects you're working on, you have more time, you're going to find ways to make more money. And for me, financial freedom was really the beginning of a lot of these business ventures. You know, I don't look at this as like quote unquote retirement. You know, I like to do stuff. And by doing stuff, it keeps me energized and hopefully making more money. So I like to touch on that because a lot of people thinking about financial freedom just say, oh, well, I couldn't sit on a beach. I couldn't be retired. Me neither. But I at least have freedom to do what I want. You're making choices out of wants instead of needs. And I just think that's a really important concept. All right, guys. So wrapping up and kind of what I would do next and what I recommend, I've tried to keep my message consistent for the last 2 years. If you hate your job and you're genuinely unhappy or miserable, I think you should get out. If you don't hate your job and it pays okay and you have some level of freedom, then I recommend building a side hustle while you still have that job to start then replacing your cost of living. If you do this, you can build income streams and you can have less pressure than someone that just leaves their job cold and now they see their bank account going down instead of up in a lot of cases. So that's just one way to think about it. The other is that when you have a job, I've talked about this a ton, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook. If you have a job, you can get loans that you can't if you didn't have a job. So ultimately, when someone stays in their job and kind of uses it, this is another, I guess, saying of mine, to use your job the way that maybe they use you or that you wouldn't be able to if you didn't have the job, get the loans that you can. You know, you can get business loans, you can get residential real estate loans, and also that a lot of times you can raise money more from having a job and talking to people in that company. That's sort of a separate thing, but if you still have a job, it's easier to reach out to people. So between COVID bringing a lot of jobs home and working from a computer, I think there's still an awesome opportunity to build a side hustle and do it while you can get some coverage, insurance, and financial coverage. So that's what I typically recommend. And as far as time commitments, I'm thinking about like what I would recommend or how this could look is if you start making a YouTube channel or buying rentals, selling a course, these are all useful skills that can easily replace the typical cost of living and do not take more than an hour a day as a side hustle. If you get up an hour earlier, get to your office a little earlier, or just stay a little bit later, and you give it a, let's say, 3 months to 12 months, there is no doubt in my mind that you will be able to generate a $3,000 to $6,000 a month income stream that you didn't have before. It just takes consistency and having a plan. So that's really what I recommend. I know some of you are more action-oriented. You want to just leave your job. Fair. I would definitely just consider these things. And I know some of you guys don't think you can build a side hustle while you have a job, but I would challenge you to say you probably do have some time before, after, or if you just use some of the creative stuff that we talked about before of cutting your W-2 hours down, you can find time to build a side hustle. And if you're just consistent with it, you'll be amazed what happens. So that's pretty much it, guys. Let me just see if there's anything else that I missed. I will be answering all the comments on this. This will be going out on YouTube, but let me just see if I missed anything. Okay, I think that's pretty much everything, guys. Going forward for these type of episodes, if you ever have questions, just drop them in the Facebook group or shoot me a DM on Instagram or comment on any post that you see to say, hey, can you talk about this in an upcoming video or a podcast? And I will make sure to add it because, as always, these are about you. A lot of these things I'm tinkering with myself, and sometimes I'm not sure if you guys will find them as interesting as I do, but I want to make sure they bring you value. So if you have any questions, always voice it. It's always a good thing to get help. And that's something that I need help with sometimes too, of letting people know I need help. So if I can help in any way, drop a comment, question, we'll make sure we get it answered, or we'll add it into the YouTube or podcast or TikTok rotation. But I think that's pretty much it, guys. Short and sweet. If you guys get value out of these, I will continue to make them. If you're not already, please subscribe or like whatever player or YouTube video you're watching this on. And that way you'll be able to see the new ones that they come out. And we try to do a giveaway on every single piece of content in some form or fashion, especially YouTube. I'm doing it more on TikTok, and we'll be doing more giveaways on the podcast. So guys, with that, short and sweet, hope you got some value out of this. Have an awesome rest of your day, and see you guys soon.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.